Okay, so Ephesians 3, verse 14 onwards, that's page 1174. And let's pray. Jesus said, "Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured unto you." Lord, help us to consider carefully this passage in Ephesians. Work in our hearts to put into our hearts the desire to learn from you, the longing to know you more, and respond, Lord, by blessing us, by opening our minds, unstopping our deaf ears, opening blind eyes, and fighting back the temptations of the world, that we would know you more. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know the phrase, "the penny drops"? Yeah? It's an expression that means understanding is reached. So the penny drops. Oh, you got it at last. Yes. The penny drops as Jim realises he's speaking to an undercover policeman. He's an undercover policeman. Run. Something like that. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where it's happened to you and suddenly you've understood what it's all about. You've realised the penny has dropped. You may well know that as a child, I loved maths. And when I went to university, I did a maths degree. I studied maths. And in the first term, I went to every lecture. That's what mathematicians do. If you were studying English, you wouldn't go to any. But I went to every lecture. And I scribbled down every equation from the blackboard and had lots of blackboards. But I didn't really understand it. And I was just writing all these things down. And it wasn't until my first Christmas holidays when I was sitting at home pouring through all these notes that suddenly the penny dropped. And it was wonderful. It was like an epiphany. Suddenly it made sense. The stuff this man had been gabbling on about with lots of strange symbols on the board for weeks suddenly clicked into place. The penny dropped. Now, it's not just maths that happens with, is it? Cooking, or driving, bricklaying probably, using a smartphone or a tablet if you've got something like that. One day the penny drops, doesn't it? And you suddenly understand. You get it. You get it. And it happens with Jesus as well, with our knowing Jesus and our understanding him again and again. When we become a Christian and onwards in our Christian lives as disciples, knowing Jesus and learning of him again and again, the penny drops. And there are new things that we realise and understand about Jesus for ourselves. And I can remember several times in my Christian life when the penny has dropped, seemed to step into a deeper knowledge of Jesus. Or maybe I'll step back into knowledge that I once had that I've forgotten. And when I became a Christian, I hesitate to call it a conversion because I think I was probably a Christian already, but it was a situation where the penny dropped. I was 18, I was at a guest service in a church I hadn't been to before, and the preacher was speaking about Jesus Christ and about the good news of Jesus dying for us and being our saviour. And I hadn't heard it the way he put it before. I knew about Jesus' death on the cross. I've been to church for years as a kid. I knew about forgiveness. I knew about the resurrection of Jesus. But when he explained it, the penny dropped. And it was like suddenly I was seeing the whole picture and not just a load of jigsaw pieces scattered on a table. The penny dropped. Maybe you can identify with that. Maybe for you, sometimes in your Christian life, the penny drops and there's something about God you see in clarity that you've not seen before. Maybe it's while you're listening to a sermon or reading a Bible passage, chatting with a Christian friend about something. Suddenly, something about Jesus makes sense like it didn't before. And that, I think, is what this passage is about. This passage, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. I have to admit, before studying this to preach on it, I've always thought this is a great passage. It's one of the best passages in the Bible. It's full of wonderful things about God. And we've got him living in us, haven't we? Verse 16, 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Wow. We've got his great love and those wonderful lines. Verse 18, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And if you're a Christian songwriter, you will want to write a song about those words. And there are hundreds, aren't there? Mm. And then the great power. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Now there's a good song. Than all we can ask or imagine. It's a Christian chocolate box passage, isn't it? It's one of the best passages there is. But as I've studied it, I've realised, I think maybe the penny has dropped for me in this passage, that what it's about is everything we've read so far in Ephesians. And it's a prayer that for the Ephesians, as they hear this read out in church, and as they think about what Paul is saying, that for them, the penny would drop. That they would understand, maybe for the first time, but maybe again, or for a new, in a new way, they would understand more deeply in their being, in their deepest place with it, about Jesus. That the big ideas that Paul has been talking about for what we think of as the last three chapters become part of their whole thinking and being in a new way. And that would lead on to change their whole life. And if you carry on reading, as we carry on the sermon series, you'll see that this point is a turning point in his letter, and he starts to talk about actually how you live these things out. And maybe you wonder sometimes about things to do with Jesus. How do I get it about Jesus? How do I get that great understanding? I certainly wondered that about maths. But maybe you wonder that about Jesus sometimes. If only you understood the cross more. If only you could see why the resurrection is like this or that. And why do things like sexual purity matter? What's happened to the Old Testament law? Maybe these things baffle you and you wish that the penny would drop. Or more deeply than that, maybe you think sometimes, if only I could grasp how Jesus is with me, if only I could really get that and get that sense into my life day by day of Jesus' presence within me, if only. How do I get it? How do I get it? Paul encourages us in this passage to seek for, by prayer and with that reading the Bible, a greater sense of Christ living in us and a greater appreciation of the blessings we have in Christ. To seek and long for those things, to make them a passion, that they will be something that become a deeper part of us, a greater sense of Christ living in us, a greater appreciation of the blessings we have in him. So what has been said so far, up to this point in chapter 3, just a brief run over some of the great things we've seen. Turn back a page and look at chapter 1, the verse I read at the beginning of the service. 1 verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That really introduces the whole of these three chapters, and he speaks for three chapters about these blessings, these spiritual blessings we have in Christ. We're not blessed with a Lamborghini or that new sewing machine or whatever it is. We're blessed with things that are in Jesus. That means, well, let's see what it means. Three chapters of amazing blessings. Well, before we just dive in, just look in these first few verses, what motivates God and where it comes from. Chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. That's going to be important later on. In love. It's a word you just skip over in this passage because of the wonderful things that are all around it. Do you remember our word? What was our word that describes this passage? Anyone remember? Apart from Claire? Remember? Begins with C. Five-letter word. Cares. Do you remember cares? C-A-R-E-S. Scratch his head. Chosen, adopted, redeemed, enlightened, sealed. Yeah? Oh, well, we only spent two sermons on it. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 7. In him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood. That's his death on the cross. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Love at the heart of that as well. And then in chapter 2, we saw, end of chapter 1, into chapter 2, we saw the resurrection power of God. And we saw how that was at work in Jesus, first of all, taking him from death to life and exalted in the heavenly realms. And then the same power at work in us, taking us, beginning of chapter 2, from death to life. So chapter 2, verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. The wonderful power of the resurrection. And it didn't stop there. We moved on then into the end of chapter 2, and we saw that what this meant was those two opposing bodies of people, the Jews and the non-Jews, had been, the dividing wall was destroyed by Jesus' death, brought together into one new family. And in that family, reconciled to God. So reconciled to each other, reconciled to God, all because of what Jesus had done on the cross. So look at chapter 2, verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer you speaking to the Gentiles like us, non-Jews. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Wonderful. Good news of reconciliation. And it didn't stop there. Chapter 3, the mystery was made known in Paul. And the mystery was that, 3 verse 6, through the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the Gentiles, non-Jews, are co-heirs, co-members, co-sharers. Remember that? Heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. These are the amazing blessings that these chapters are full of. It's blessing after blessing. No wonder he says at the beginning, he's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And now Paul says in our section, he says in a prayer, I want you to get this deep within you. Deep within you. I so want you to understand this deep within, not just as a tick list in your head, a list of things to know about God and me, but deep in your inner being. I don't know if you've ever seen a really good telly program and you want to tell someone about it. Have you ever been in that situation? It's a fantastic telly program. It's the best foreign detective series or car show or gardening program you've ever seen, and you're desperate to explain it to someone, and you're going on and on about it, and you want them to catch from you. You want them to catch that love you had, the excitement you had when you watched it, and you want it to sort of dawn on them. And it's quite frustrating, isn't it? Because it never quite does. And, oh, thank you very much. That's very interesting. Paul is feeling like that, I think, here. He wants the Ephesians to get what he gets. He's laid it out before them in the language that he speaks and in the expression that God has given him by the Holy Spirit as he's written this. But he wants them to get it deep within. And that's his prayer. He's got this insight into Jesus and what Jesus has done. And he prays that the penny would drop for them again and again. And they'd have a deeper knowledge of God. So, what's in the prayer? What's in the prayer? Four parts to the prayer, and let's go through them. The first part is verses 14 and 15. The prayer is addressed to the Father. For this reason, referring back to what we've been talking about, the passage we had last week was a little, it was in brackets, as it were. If you look at 3 verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, and he changes the subject, and he comes back. For this reason, carrying on that sentence. What is the reason? All those amazing things, and particularly that Jew and Gentile are united together in this one family, this new temple that God lives in by his Spirit. Because of that, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. He's kneeling before God the Father. He says that God the Father is the creator and Lord of all family groupings on earth, whatever kind of family grouping you can think of. And that includes the new family grouping he's made out of Jew and Gentile into one family in Jesus. He's the Lord and creator of that. And he kneels. Normally, apparently, they would stand for prayer, Christians, in this time. And he's kneeling. And there's something in that about, I think, expressing that passion. But there's something about worship in that. As he worships this God the Father, he's bowing before him in kneeling and expressing something of his love for God. And his desire for the Ephesians to gain what he's praying for. The second part is, that's the first part, the introduction. The next three parts are three prayers. And although they're slightly different prayers, I really think they're all about the same thing. So the first prayer is for the next two verses, 16 and 17. And it is a prayer, Paul praying, that they would know deeply that Christ is with them. Or for us, that we would know deeply that Christ is with us, within us. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Glorious riches should be ringing a bell, because it echoes something he said earlier in chapter 1, verse 17, when he was praying. And the riches word keeps coming up in Ephesians. Let me just give you a quick list. Riches of his grace, chapter 1, verse 7. Riches of his glorious inheritance, chapter 1, verse 18. He is rich in mercy, chapter 2, verse 4. The immeasurable riches of his grace, chapter 2, verse 7. The unsearchable riches of Christ, chapter 3, verse 8. Here, the riches of his glory, or his glorious riches. Paul is superlative about God, isn't he, here? It's part of that, the spiritual blessings we've got. And out of those riches, he's praying that God the Spirit would be at work. He's praying for an increased trust in them, that they would trust more that Jesus is really with them. We need to trust, because we can't see it, can we? We can't sort of put our arms around Jesus or feel him somewhere. So it has to be by faith. And he's praying that God, out of his wonderful riches, and he's immeasurably rich, there's a glorious inheritance to come. He's unsearchably rich. Out of all that treasure, God would lavish on them, and by extension on us as followers of Jesus, a stronger faith, with it strengthened by his power, strengthened by the Spirit, that Jesus is there with us. Now we know he's with us because that's what his death on the cross has done, and the reconciliation we have is. And so we're praying with Paul for the Spirit to work in us and strengthen our faith, that we would know it more and more deeply, that Jesus is there. I think it's a bit like being loved by someone. When you're loved by someone, you can't kind of see it, can you? It's something that is known in your relationship. And when you know that you're loved by someone, that gives you a confidence, a happiness, a sort of a rock of certainty, a foundation in your life. And that's what's happening here about knowing Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. To know Christ with us does that even more. And maybe you don't know anyone who loves you, but this is Christ does. And Christ with you gives you all those things, a confidence, a joy in him, a rock of certainty, a sure foundation. So the first prayer is to know deeply that Christ is with us. Will a penny drop for the Ephesians? Will they sense that? And again, not just in their heads as information they could write down on a piece of paper, but for themselves and their lives deep within. Prayer number two, next couple of verses, I think carries on that, goes back over the same theme with another layer, as it were. And that is to know deeply God's love in what Christ has done for us. So the first one is to know deeply that Christ is with us. Second prayer is to know deeply God's love in what Christ has done for us. So halfway through verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He prays that you may be rooted and established in love. Now, how are we rooted and established in love? There's a temptation to think, oh, well, they're all being nice to each other, and that gives them a sort of a common bond or something. But it's not, is it? Think back to Ephesians. All those words I was picking out as we read through the different things we've already read. It's there all the way through. Verse 4 and 5. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. Chapter 2, verse 4. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. So how are we rooted and established in love? All those things that God has done for us, they root us. They give us a foundation, a secure point that we grow from. We're established in them. That's God's love. All that Christ has done for us. The spiritual blessings we have in the heavenly realms, in other words. What God has done in Christ by his love. Cares. Chosen, adopted, redeemed, enlightened, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Because God loves us. And because Jesus, in that love, has died for us and won all of that for us by his death on the cross. He prays that we would be rooted and established in love. That what God has done for us because of his love would be our foundation. Well, how well do we grasp that? Do we get that? Do we get it deep within? Do we see how huge it is? The true meaning of what Jesus has done, what it cost him. Verse 18 prays that being rooted and established in love, we may have power, the same power that he's talked about already, of the Spirit, together with all the Lord's holy people, with all the other believers here and elsewhere, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And this isn't about gooey feelings, is it, this love? But it's about getting it, about the penny dropping, about how God loves us, and he's shown us this love in what he's done in Jesus. Now, what difference does that make in our lives? That last line of verse 19, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Fullness, I think, relates to all the things we've talked about, because those are the things that fill us in God and give us all the great things that God has got, aren't they? All that huge list of the things he's done through these pages, all the blessings. And to be filled in them, that you may be filled to the measure, is to know them and trust God in them and be assured of God's love in them in that deep way. And that will change how we live, because that will give us that secure foundation. It will give us that knowledge that runs our lives through the day, from day to day in the week, and change how we live. So it's a prayer to the Father to know deeply that Christ is in us, to know deeply God's love in what Christ has done for us. And number four, fourth part of it, third prayer, to trust deeply that God can help us. And we might get to this stage in this prayer and think, is it possible? Is it possible to get that depth in my understanding and knowledge of Jesus? For my faith to grow? Can it happen? And Paul says, yes, verse 20, God is powerful. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than everything I've just said, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, the same power we've talked about, the power of verse 16, the power of verse 18, the power that he talked about for the believers in verse 19 of chapter 1, the power that raised Christ from the dead. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And when he helps us to know that Christ is with us and that Christ, all that Christ has done for us, then that leads to him being, at least to us, praising him in our lives, with our thinking, with what we do. It leads to God being glorified. So it's a prayer to the Father to know deeply that Christ is with us, to know deeply God's love in what Christ has done for us, and to trust deeply that God can do it, that God can help us. So my question as we finish is this: will we seek for, by praying and reading the Bible, will we seek for a greater sense of Christ living in us and a greater appreciation deep within of the blessings we have in Christ? Now, where is this going to happen in our lives? It's going to happen primarily, I think, privately. I think it's going to happen at home, your home, in kitchen, I don't know, sitting room, where you find a time to be quiet, where nobody's going to disturb you, and find a time where you can get out the Bible and just spend some time reading about God, praying to him, mulling over what you read, trying to work out what it means, read it again and again. It takes effort. It's not something that's come easy. One of our problems is spiritual laziness, isn't it? We think that God is all just going to wash over us and somehow we can wander around ignoring God, doing nothing about him, and we'll grow. But no. Put a bit of effort in and God responds. We need to try and try again with it. I think it also happens in church as we meet and learn from God together and in our small groups, Bible studies. What do we expect when we come to church? Do we expect that deeper knowledge? Perhaps we can prepare ourselves better before we end up at church. Where's it going to happen? I think primarily privately, but also at church and in our groups. Why should we want to seek that greater sense of knowing Christ? Because the passage tells us God wants it for us. He's got this power for us that he wants to use by the Holy Spirit to lavish his riches on us. It's God's desire for you that you should know him more deeply in your inner being. God, the Holy Spirit is waiting to make the penny drop again and again and again in our lives. I don't know if you ever thought about how often professional musicians practice. You ever wondered that? How do they get so perfect in what they're playing? Someone has said, amateurs practice until they get it right. Professionals practice until they can't get it wrong. Behind every wonderful concert musician or guitar solo or whatever is someone who's spent the hours, put the time in, put the effort in. And it shows. Now maybe we can put the time in with our relationship with God so that we can know him more deeply. So that God can answer this prayer for us, that we, out of his glorious riches, he would strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. So that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Can he do it? Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory here in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Spend a little bit more time in prayer, just quietly thinking through what we've seen. Let me just read to you those points again. It's a prayer to the Father to know deeply that Christ is with us, to know deeply God's love in what Christ has done for us. To trust deeply that God can help us. How do we get it with God? We pray, Lord, that the penny would drop again and again through your wonderful power by the Holy Spirit at work in us. Help us to long for and desire this and to bother doing those things that will help us to know you more. Prayed in Jesus' name.